Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, whose vision is to deliver world-class care, making life better for the communities they are privileged to serve. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so residents can live life better here. San Juan Regional Medical Center, community-owned and operated, here for you. It's time for the 34th annual Tota Festival over Labor Day weekend at the Farmington Civic Center, featuring Native American artisans, food, a cultural expo, an authentic Navajo rug auction, and more. Don't forget the Tota 5K River Run and Walk and Joe Tahoney Jr. and White Mountain Apache Crown Dancers. The Tota Festival, September 2nd and 3rd at the Farmington Civic Center, is a jolt-worthy event. Find out more at farmingtonnm.org.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin.
Hey, Megan Cullop.
Hello.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
How are you?
Well, it's Friday, so.
Okay.
I'm well.
You're better?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right. Better than every other.
Than Thursday or Wednesday?
Monday or Wednesday or Tuesday or Monday.
Oh, that's fair. I think that's fair. Okay. Very good. Welcome, everyone. This is our Solutions from the Street program here on KSJE. It is the program that we try to find solutions to problems that maybe aren't maybe government solutions or things like that. That's kind of what we do twice a month, right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that. Maybe a little longer answer. We're on the radio, but we got a little time to fill here. But yeah, so this week we are talking a little bit about planning.
Planning for our ultimate demise.
Yes, exactly. It's coming. We're all marching towards death.
Yes, we are.
So it's important to plan. And a lot of folks maybe don't think about that. Maybe until the last minute or before, or until it's too late or things along that line. And so that is why we've reached out to our guest today.
Yes.
Okay. Right?
Yep.
I'm on the right track, right?
You're on the right track.
Okay. You're not looking at me like I got, like, you know, five eyeballs. Okay.
Nope.
All right.
That would be cool though.
Right? Could see everywhere.
Think of all the things
at once.
You could see.
I know. Around corners. Anyway, let's introduce our guest, shall we?
Yes, we shall. So
okay.
Joining us today, we have Nikki Unsucker, an attorney.
Estate planning attorney.
Nikki, and
good morning.
Well, you do a lot of different things in the attorney world.
That's true. A lot of different things.
Welcome.
And my name is Nikki Unsucker.
Unsucker,
like I'm not getting any sicker.
Gotcha.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. But good to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here, and I'm happy to be here with people who will joke about death.
You've come to the right place.
You've come to the right place.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I also, this is my favorite area of law to practice. I love helping people plan this, and people are really uncomfortable talking about it. And I remind them all the time that I say the dreaded D word, like, daily, and I'm okay.
Right.
We can talk about death, we can plan, and you are right. People absolutely often wait till it's too late or it's a rush, and then their wishes really can't be honored.
And that's
it's heartbreaking.
And that's terrible for the family and their friends, right?
Yes.
And others, because, or they're left questioning, I suppose, what would mom have wanted or dad have wanted, and trying to figure out what to do, right? But there's no clear direction.
Left in situations where mom said that I'm supposed to get the house, you know, but they didn't actually formalize that. And so now the house is going to the six siblings, you know.
Right.
All sorts of things happen.
Exactly. And so that's why you are here today, to help give us some guidance and maybe explain a bit how to maybe go about trying to clarify maybe some of these things in families, and then maybe how to even approach these discussions if you are a person who doesn't like talking about the D word.
Yes.
And things like that. And it is a little, you know, difficult, because it does remind us of our mortality, mm-hmm. and that we're not always going to be here. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe when someone gets sick
or very, very sick, and then all of a sudden you got to start talking about that, it may be too late to do that, because maybe that person is not conscious anymore to be able to agree to this stuff.
Absolutely. So basically, when we are looking at these documents, there are three kind of cornerstone documents that you for sure want. You want your will. That's going to say where your assets go when you die. It's the vehicle that kind of drives it through the probate process. Okay. So let's say that I want to leave something to my son, but not my daughter. Well, I need a will. That's going to say I leave everything to my son, and I am specifically not leaving things for my daughter. Okay.
It can't just be, but you told so-and-so that you were going to do this verbally, and you told your spouse that you're going to do this, and so why can't your spouse just say, yeah, that's what she said?
Nope, absolutely not. So if I passed away without that document, and if I didn't have a husband, then it would go equally to my son and daughter. But if I have this will there, then it takes it through probate, and it makes sure that that happens.
It's clear directions, I guess, for those folks, right? And it holds up in court, I guess, which is the other important part of this.
Yes. And there are a lot of forms online. I do advise people to seek out attorneys, only because I have seen such disasters from these forms. The forms don't know you. They don't know what questions to ask. They don't know if they're doing it right. So that is something to consider.
Okay.
So the will is a kind of a cornerstone document. The other two that I believe everybody should have, and I believe these two are the most important because they actually affect you during your lifetime, is your advanced healthcare directive / medical power of attorney, and then your financial power of attorney. So these are the two documents that if you ever become like incapacitated during your lifetime, it says what you want to happen to you medically and who can make those decisions. And then financially, the same thing in that. They're two different documents.
Okay.
If you don't have that, a judge would have, it's a very expensive process, and there'd be a conservatorship and a guardianship, and you don't have any power over who those people are or what they do with you.
A judge will determine that, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there could be fighting and infighting and arguments and what have you about who of your children or your relatives want that job, if anybody does.
Yes, yeah, and it's sad. I do those as well, and it can be really sad because families can tear themselves apart, you know, because they love you, so they're fighting for you.
Right.
Right.
Right. Very true.
And then the other thing to consider, so those are kind of the three cornerstones that I think everybody should have, but people love then to ask me about trusts.
Right.
So trust is an optional document. I mean, all of these are optional,
sure,
but you'll need the three no matter what. The trust, and I'm just going to talk about simple, revocable living trusts. There are lots of different kinds of trusts. If you need the other kind, you know, get a specialized attorney. But the revocable living trust is something where essentially it's a basket that's created and you choose what to put inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
But during your lifetime, you can also take those things out. You can change who's in charge of it in the future. You can change everything about it. So during your lifetime, it's your stuff. You can do whatever you want with the basket.
While you're alive.
While you're alive. But if you become incapacitated or you pass away, then instead of having to go through probate, it just automatically transfers. And it can be really wonderful, like if you have children. Let's say that when you pass away, there's a chance that one of your beneficiaries might be like 23. Maybe you don't want them to directly inherit $500,000 or $100,000 or $10,000.
Not again.
Right.
Right.
You know, wouldn't that be so nice?
Yes.
But in that situation, you can then say that this money will be managed for their benefit, for their health, for their education, for their needs, until they reach maybe a little bit more responsible age of 30, 35, 40. You get to decide.
Right. Interesting. And do a lot of people maybe use those trusts for property and things like that, like the family home or things like that, if they want that to pass down to future generations? Is that one of the things that they're used for?
Absolutely. So basically you get to decide what you put in the basket. Most people decide to put everything they own in there.
Okay.
Because then it
houses,
just,
cars, whatever, jewelry, whatever, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything into it so that it just passes on through without probate. But you can use them for more specialized purposes. Like let's say that you have a family farm that needs to go a certain way compared to other assets. There's lots of creative things that can be done.
Got it. Interesting. But that also, I guess, as you said, speeds the process, I suppose. But probate is like the typical process of stuff, right? When someone passes away, isn't that kind of what we always hear about?
Yeah. So probate is where essentially a judge kind of helps guide the assets passing from one generation to the next. And here in New Mexico, we actually have several different kind of layers of probate, depending on how much oversight is needed, how badly people are fighting, which is a nice option because not every state has that.
Right. But it takes time.
It takes time. Like, for example, a very, very quick probate where everything goes smoothly, the quickest is like 6 months because you have a four-month creditors period.
Uh-huh.
So there's 4 months where creditors can submit their claims and have their claims paid.
Got it. Interesting. In the meantime, all the siblings or descendants are waiting for their share of the pie, I suppose,
yes.
too, right? And so this other trust idea would make that a lot faster.
That is true.
That's what you're talking about
mm-hmm.
this morning. Okay, I think I got it. So thank you very much. Megan, I haven't let you get a word in edgewise.
I know,
I apologize because
right?
you are usually chomping at the bit to ask a question. So please go ahead.
Well, one of my questions is, how old should a person be before they put these documents into place?
Thank you for asking me this question.
Yeah.
This is such an important question because most people wait until they're older or too old.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you are young, you should at least have your advanced health care and your power of attorney in place, even if you don't have stuff that you think you need a will. If you are a young family and you have children, you absolutely need a will. I really wish people understood this, because regardless of your assets, you get to name who would be the guardian of your kids. Imagine the worst thing happens and you leave your children behind and you haven't named who the guardian would be. I mean, I can imagine in my own family, the grandparents, I mean, they would take themselves all down fighting over my kids.
Yeah.
And so having those provisions is absolutely important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I have an advanced health care directive. Scott, do you?
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Well, and I think
I'm one step
things...
in the grave already, so I know. What's my problem?
One of the things about the advanced health care directives that are really important for younger people is the famous Supreme Court cases involving our women in their early 20s.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were cases where they were kept alive as their family fought all through the court systems, up, down, all over, because they didn't have these advanced health care directives. So it really is a gift to your loved ones and to yourself that if the worst were to happen, you get to decide what happens to you and not the courts.
Right.
Right.
Very
right.
true. Well, and Megan, I appreciate you naming me your...
my agent.
Your agent. That's
well,
right. So
well,
thank you.
My,
thank you for that.
Advanced,
I will not wear my pull the plug t-shirt
well,
when I have to deal with your
case. Well, it
actually
would be really case. Simple because I spelled out very specific directions. So the person just has to be like, okay. So that's the way to do it.
Yes,
is
absolutely.
Just spell it out.
Yes.
Don't leave a lot of guessing.
Sure.
So,
no, that does make sense. And
yeah.
I am remiss at not having mine in place.
It's pretty so. Simple.
It is
well,
simple.
I would yeah. think. I know.
So
I hear you, but yes.
Can I give some resources that I like to give
yes.
people?
Yes.
Please do.
Okay.
Sure.
So how in the world do we even figure out what we want at the end of our lives, right?
Right?
I mean, we live in a world where, you know, it used to be like in more traditional times, people died in our houses, right? Now people die behind doors and we don't even know what's going on, what the options are, and we don't really think about it outside of maybe TV or movies. And so when I first started doing this work, I started volunteering at a hospice to really try and understand the dying process. And I found two resources that are very interesting.
Okay.
One is called Death Over Dinner. And if you just Google Death Over Dinner, it's a website. You go to the website and they give you some articles and some little videos and things to kind of educate yourself. You can then pick what you prefer other people to read that kind of align with your values and your hopes. And then you send them an email that is an invitation to dinner. And then they come to your house and you have dinner and they are to have read or watched these very simple things. And you intentionally have a conversation about what you want about at the end of life.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Because that helps you kind of jumpstart that conversation.
It's one of the hardest to have. You know, you tell most people, here's what I want at the end of my life. And they're going to say, no, don't worry about it. You're going to live forever, Grandma.
Right.
You know.
Right. Until she doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. And then you have to have that horrible conversation, right?
Right?
Because grandma's gone or going,
yeah.
and we don't know what to do.
Right. And if we don't have our advanced healthcare directives, our loved ones show us they love us by keeping us alive.
Right.
Right. And sometimes
that's what grandma would have wanted. I know it.
Right. And sometimes that can be really miserable, actually, for the human having to experience that. The other one that I really like is the Conversation Project. It's another one you can just Google, and it just gives you information. There are kind of quizzes to take to figure out where your values align, so you can kind of figure out what you might want and how to talk to your agent so that you can, you know, have a meaningful document and a death that honors your values.
Nice. I like that. Because again, it is really a personal decision for a lot of individuals and their families. And so again, if you've never really thought about it, you may not know kind of where you fall on some of these topics and things along that line. And maybe these things would help you kind of see that in black, more black and white than maybe shades of gray, I guess, is what
Absolutely.
I'm thinking of. So that's really important. I like that. Thank you for sharing some of those resources with us. Megan Collum, any other questions?
Well, I will just vouch for the Conversation Project, and it helps.
You're familiar with it?
Yes, and it really, you know, one of the things that I like was it asks you to consider when you would have this conversation. Do you have it at the next family holiday gathering, or
Ooh.
Do you make a point to set it aside? And it just has all sorts of options for when should you have this conversation. But, I mean, why do you think people are just afraid of death? Why aren't people hopping on this sooner?
I just absolutely think people are afraid of death.
Yeah.
And I know there are also different cultures in our areas with different traditions around
True.
Death. But I think as a society in the U.S., we really struggle because it happens behind closed doors and really is this scary thing. I think it used to be more kind of interwoven in our fabric.
Yeah.
And it's been removed to be this sterile thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
It has been sterilized. Yeah, I mean, people aren't dying in the home as much. I mean, on hospice they are, but, you know, a lot of people don't take advantage of hospice either till it's too late, so.
Right. True. And I guess those documents would help hospice workers also know what to do, right? And do you require that in your hospice line of work, Megan?
Well, we do ask up front if they have a medical power of attorney. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, it's not required. And sometimes people kind of luck out because they have a spouse and it's like automatically going to be their spouse anyway. But a lot of people don't have spouses or they're widowed or whatever. So who is it? You have three kids. Which one are we supposed to talk to here? You're going to lose your capacity. Who is it that you want us to talk to? And they haven't planned it out. So then it's a mad rush, to your point, a mad rush to get somebody and plan that out.
And what are the chances that all three kids agree on what to do?
I mean, sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. And it just creates unnecessary tension. And it's a real, you don't want the mad rush on hospice because things can change on a dime. So
Right. We
do immediately ask for a medical power of attorney.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And probably keeps things a little more organized.
Yeah.
If you can do it.
Yeah.
And can have that. Nikki Unziger, I wanted to ask you too about, you know, if there is no will or none of these documents, obviously a spouse should have certain say when their spouse passes away. Isn't that kind of how it goes? Or without these documents, it's still up in the air?
Well, I mean, as you were just talking about, Megan, it kind of depends on the institution. But there really isn't a guarantee that even if you have a spouse that they're followed, or it could be you have a spouse that you wouldn't want
right.
to be
well,
the one making the decision.
Forgot about that person. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so instead, what will end up happening is you can end up in the courtroom for guardianships, conservatorships. And sometimes those go smoothly. Even when they go smoothly, they're very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've watched families be torn apart by these proceedings because everybody thinks that they're going to do what's in, you know, other people's best interest, and they fight. And it's sad then that the legacy left behind when that person passes away is really a torn apart family.
Yeah.
So it can be a real gift, not just to the care providers, but to the family, to be able to have these documents and to know who's speaking. And even if they're annoyed or like, well, it should have been me, it's a whole different thing than having to be in the courtroom and take testimony about why my sister isn't qualified to do it and I am. I mean, they get really nasty and sad, and that testimony is heartbreaking.
Right. And those relationships are damaged.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yes.
With that kind of testimony
yes.
in an open court. So so there you go. But again, these documents are fairly easy to construct and
yes.
to put forward, I would assume.
Yes.
In this basic session. I mean, obviously, if someone has a lot of financial intertwined dealings and things, that's going to make it a little bit more complicated. But if someone's just got, you know, a house and a car and some stuff.
So for your advanced healthcare directive and your financial power of attorney, there are statutory forms. So you can go online and pull those. And they should serve most general purposes. I still am not going to advise getting a will offline. But for the advanced healthcare and the financial power of attorney, they are statutory documents.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so what then what would you do with, you have to tell someone you have these, right? So
yes,
something does happen. You don't just stick it in a drawer somewhere, do you?
Right. So,
well, I'm asking the question.
Yeah. So with a will,
I would, but someone else probably wouldn't.
Yeah. So with a will, oftentimes people, I just advise them to put them with their, you know, precious documents in either a fireproof box, a safety deposit box, whatever they have, where if they were to pass away, people would go and look. Because a lot of people don't want their wills out there.
Sure.
That's fine.
Right.
With your advanced healthcare directive and your financial one, you're going to take to your banking institutions so that they have them.
I see. On file, ready to go, mm-hmm. Right? Okay.
And then your medical power of attorney, you're going to go ahead and you're going to give that to your doctors. And depending on where you are in your life and what you're wanting, so let's say that you are in a terminal condition and you're ready to go. One of the things that's very important is making sure that not only that your caregivers have that, but that you have it readily available and like in a bright color on or near your bed, so that like if 911 were called or something like that, they can actually see that, because otherwise they're just going to do what they do and they're going to keep you alive,
right?
Because that's their job,
right?
And so you want to make sure that that information is very, very readily available and handed to those first responders so that they have a chance to honor it. They can't always, sometimes they're acting so fast, but that is one way to try and preserve those wishes if you're kind of at the end.
Right, understood. Megan has a question.
Well, I'll just add to what you're saying, because another form is the do not resuscitate form.
Yep.
And this mm-hmm. this form is the quick sheet for, you know, you have it on your fridge so that if EMS does come, they're trained to look for this bright green. You can spell out the basics like, do I want an artificial nutrition hydration? Do I want to have CPR performed on me or not? You know, is it comfort measures only? Is it limited measures? Like, you can give me an IV, but, you know, don't try to restart my heart. And it's all just check boxes. And that takes you about 30 seconds to fill out. And then you just have to get it signed by a physician, and it's good to go. You can change it anytime. You know, if you sign it 1 year and next year you change your mind, you can change it. But that's a quick sheet for emergencies.
Right.
So that's also a very important form. And you can find that on NewMexicoMost.com. So it's a state form.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And that New Mexico Most website, is that a state
site? Yep, state site.
Okay.
So NM Most, M-O-S-T, you can just type it into Google and it'll bring it up.
Okay.
So that's another good form.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Very good. Nikki, what else are we forgetting to ask you about this morning? I know it can get very complicated, and so we're trying to keep it really simple today. And so I guess if folks are listening to us this morning and wanting to take one step in this direction, what's the first step they should take?
I love the idea of beginning to explore what you want, you know, so some of those websites I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
And then from there, thinking meaningfully about who you would pick to make the medical decisions, because it's not always the most obvious human. It's sometimes not your husband or your son. Maybe it's a friend that's a nurse who is going to be someone who is going to be a much better advocate for what you want at the end of your life than what your family's able to do. And so, you know, beginning to explore those needs, those relationships, and then the forms, you know, unless you're working with an attorney, then pulling up the statutory forms and getting those filled out, because those really are going to say what you want when you can't speak for yourself anymore.
Right. And for these people that you determine to be your power of attorney, you should let them know.
Yes.
Right? Not leave it as a surprise.
And they should have a copy.
Yes. Well, and you need to have a meaningful conversation about what this all means, because
right.
you're asking them to do one of the hardest things they will ever do.
True. And I don't want to make light of it, because it is a very hard decision, mm-hmm. and you're put in a really important spot. This person trusts you.
Mm-hmm.
with their making these life or death decisions in some cases when they can't make them for themselves. And so this is a very important decision. So even though we're making some jokes about other things, this is a really important part of this.
Yeah.
So an important part of the conversation. And so you are, of course, a practicing attorney in
yes.
this area. There are others like you.
Absolutely.
And so we would recommend that folks reach out to you or anyone
yes.
that does work like you do if they feel they need assistance to put all this stuff together that we're talking about.
Absolutely, yes.
And having an attorney do that can help maybe catch things that might get fouled up in probate or could come under question or
yes.
or cause a delay, some things like that.
Yes, and to create a valid will, right? I've had people who've gone through and created wills, but then they're not valid and they don't hold up. And it's heartbreaking for the family because they have this document and it says, and it doesn't matter what
right.
it says.
It's got fancy font on
yeah.
it and everything.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
But it doesn't meet the statutory requirements. And so no matter what, there is no way to honor that document that person took time creating.
Could get thrown out?
Yeah, absolutely.
All the time.
Yes.
Or some of the time. But interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that's devastating for a family too, who thinks they've got everything done correctly.
Absolutely.
And they get into to probate court, I suppose,
yes.
right? And the judge says, this doesn't fit or whatever.
Yeah, or often what'll happen is they come into my office with their will and they're like, all right, we're ready to probate this. And I have to have a heartbreaking conversation with them that, you know, I understand that you were mom's caretaker and she wanted to leave you everything and you've worked so hard, but I'm so sorry, this is not going to be what happens.
Because the will is not
because
valid.
Because the will is not valid.
And so what happens in those situations then? It's up to the judge and it just gets divided equally or then, who knows what happens?
Then it falls according to the statute. So it could be that it, you know, goes to all the siblings. And really, more often than not, these heartbreaking situations come because maybe it's a girlfriend who's the caretaker.
Right.
And the boyfriend leaves everything to her. You know, he's alienated from his family, all these things. And so she comes in with this document and then it doesn't hold up, and now family that he's lost contact with or maybe were cruel to him, now they get everything.
Because yeah. that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And I suppose then if the boyfriend-girlfriend were married, would that have a different weight in this type of a conversation?
That could absolutely have a different situation.
Okay. And so, again, I think that's however you feel about marriage, but that does have a legal standing in many cases, and I guess that's one of the differences here
yeah.
that we're talking about. Interesting. Megan?
I mean, I feel like we've covered all the bases.
Have we? Are you sure? Okay.
We've covered it.
All right. Okay.
But, you know, it's frustrating as a young person to have so many friends that don't have things mm-hmm. in order. Because it took me, for that advance directive, I mean, I had to have a conversation with the friend that I appointed. But then after that, you know, it took 5 minutes to fill it out.
Absolutely.
And it's like a 3-pager, done. Once you get it done, so much peace of mind. Like, so much peace of mind. I know if something happens, this person's there, that things will go according to plan.
Right.
It's so worth your time.
Gotcha. What else?
Can I do one more thing?
Of course.
Yes, just, you brought this up.
Yeah.
So one of the things, though, about the Advanced Healthcare Directive is it can be as simple as checking some boxes, maybe writing a sentence. But one of the things I love about this form that sometimes gets overlooked is it really can be incredibly unique and specific. When I was volunteering at hospice, this was one of my favorite stories. There was a woman there in a coma, and she had a provision in her Advanced Healthcare Directive that she wanted her toenails painted red. And
makes
so,
sense to me.
Yeah.
See?
And so, I mean, she's in a coma. This hospice was amazing. And once a month, there'd be a woman who would come in and paint her toenails red. Now, that is a silly example, but it shows how you really can make this document as unique as you are. So let's say you have a disease, a kidney disease, and you are at the end of your life and you know that you don't want to go on dialysis.
Okay.
You can put details like that in there. If there's something in your family you don't want, you know, you've watched grandma go through this and you don't want to go through it, you can put that in there. I mean, it really can be a very dynamic document.
Got you. And it is, you know, it carries that weight, I guess, of enforcement.
Absolutely.
And it's
It'd
a legal document.
In court.
Right. And that's what makes it really important to have. One other question that I had for the power of attorney folks, I mean, how many layers should I have? You know, I want to go to this person, but if they're not available anymore, should I have a second person or
yes.
a third person? How many layers should I have?
So when I do these, so let's say it's someone my age getting an advanced healthcare directive, I'm 40. Sorry, you don't know that. Then I would probably, like, in the beginning, maybe it would be my uncle, who is my power of attorney, who's older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe my husband, right, who's my age. And then, because I might live a lot longer than him. I might then have someone else who's under there, who's my age or younger. You kind of want to pick a range of age, okay, depending on how old you are. If you're an older person, and let's say you're picking, you know, a daughter and a sister and things like that, you don't need as many layers. But the younger you are, the more layers you need, because chances are good you're going to live longer. But again, you can always update these documents as well.
Right. And those are fairly easy to do, as yes, well, as we've been talking about. So that's an important thing to say. Mm-hmm. So good. Well, great. Well, I think we've covered it, mm-hmm, everybody.
Yeah, yes.
But thank you very much. Would
thank
you mind
you
repeating those websites again for us before we go?
Yeah.
If you still have them readily available there, to just, yeah, to remind us of where to go, just to kind of start the process.
Yeah. So I enjoy death over dinner, just because I love sending people email invites to dinners to talk about death.
sure.
And then the Conversation Project is another very helpful one to explore what your values are.
Very good. And it'll get the ball rolling,
yes,
in both of these instances.
Great,
so
place to start.
That's important. So very good. Well, wonderful. Nikki Unzicker, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We really
this
appreciate it, and the work that, yeah, you do and others like you in the community, because I know, as you mentioned, this just is heartbreaking, I imagine, for families, and you probably see it more often than you'd like to.
Absolutely do.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. Megan Cullip, thank you for being here.
Well, you know, that's a given.
I pay you to be here. I
yeah,
know, I
exactly
do pay you to be here. So
exactly.
That's true. But, yeah. Okay. But there's some other stuff coming up. You have a show tomorrow.
I have a show tomorrow. Yes. Radio Free Saturday morning.
Before we talk about that show.
What's up?
Let's talk about this show.
Right. Because we're always looking for
new
solutions.
New challenges, new problems.
New problems
to find answers to.
As yes, we're reminded, every challenge is an opportunity.
Yes.
So feel free to email us at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu. If you know a solution maker, or you have an idea for a issue to tackle, then we would love to hear from you.
Exactly. Because didn't someone mention, like, someone like Nikki we should have on to talk about this very topic?
Was it me?
It might have been you. All right. It might have been you.
I don't know.
Okay.
Could have been somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah, they were spot on. So it worked out great.
Yeah.
So there you are. Okay, cool. And then we'll be back next week with our That's Interesting show. It'll be the first Friday of the month. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's wrong? Why is that?
Wow.
Why
I don't. Well, because you know I love summer. So I'm just watching it fade before
yeah,
my eyes.
September 1st.
I
sorry.
Know.
Okay.
I know.
But there you go. But just a reminder, we're here on the second and fourth Fridays with a guest like Nikki Unzicker with Solutions from the Street. And then we're back on the first, third, and if there is a fifth Friday with our other show called That's Interesting. And that's when we just invite you to call in and just burn up the phone lines and talk about whatever's interesting in your world.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we love hearing from folks because they call about really interesting things. And if we're left to do it ourselves, our stuff isn't always so interesting.
That's the truth.
Yeah. So that's why we like callers to call in, listeners to call in. So there you go. Okay, now we can talk about your show.
Radio Free Saturday Morning.
Yeah.
Every Saturday
it's
morning.
Tomorrow.
9 to 11 a.m. It's a great way to start your weekend.
There you go. It's a little confusing, though, because it's Radio Free Saturday Morning and it's on the radio. So I know what you mean. It just, you know.
Well, it's a playoff of Radio Free Europe.
Yeah.
That was.
Sure.
The original
gotcha
thought. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's sort of esoteric in that way. But
okay.
Yeah, tomorrow we have a guest host.
Nice.
Listeners might know of Thomas, who calls in sometimes for That's Interesting.
Yes. Okay.
He has a vastly different music taste, so you'll hear
than
some,
you or than
yes,
most people. Oh, okay.
Well, than me for sure.
Okay.
So
all
you'll
right,
hear quite the array of stuff.
Gotcha. And that's the point of your show, is that it's
yeah,
kind of format free.
Yes.
And so you hear all different types of music. So tomorrow, even more so.
Even more so tomorrow.
Because of the influence of Thomas.
The influence of Thomas is quite strong.
Got you. Okay. For 2 hours.
For 2 hours.
Okay. It's Radio Free Saturday Morning, tomorrow morning, right here on KSJE, or stream it at KSJE.com, right?
That's right.
It could be anywhere on earth and listen to you.
That's right. As long as you have the internets, you're set.
The tubes are free and clear. You can
yeah,
listen. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Wonderful. Well, that's all the time we have, everyone, I think. So we will we'll wrap up the show.
Yes. Sorry, I got something in my eye right when you switched to camera.
I know. I was looking over there, and I was like, oh, well, here we go. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
A little something.
Because
it makes you cheer up a little bit, I think, when we end the show.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
That's right.
You just don't like having
sort
to say.
I'm crying out of just one eye right now.
That's right. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway. But have a great weekend. Audience, have a great weekend. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week right here on KSJE. Bye-bye.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.